Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello and welcome back to Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. I am your host, Movie Mike. Today, my wife and co-host Kelsey joins me. How are you?
I'm good, aside from being a little bit under the weather. So sorry if my voice is a little scratchy.
Best and worst of the month is what we're going to do, talking about all the movies we saw in October. We're going to get into some movie news too, which I have read the entire Variety article diving into what is happening at Marvel right now. So I'll give you my thoughts on that. Kelsey has something festive coming up for that segment. We'll get into the movie review. We'll get into the trailer park. Thank you for being here. Shout out to the Monday Morning Movie crew. And now, let's talk movies.
In a world where everyone and their mother has a podcast, one man stands to infiltrate the ears of listeners like never before in a movie podcast. A man with so much movie knowledge, he's basically like a walking IMDb with glasses. From the Nashville Podcast Network, this is Movie Mike's Movie Podcast.
Best and worst for the month of October. Kelsey, you kick us off. What was your best movie of the month?
I think it's obvious. Killers of the Flower Moon.
That is mine too. We had to go double here.
A combo best movie of the month. There was no other contender.
I found myself coming back to thinking about that movie more and more. And maybe I was a little bit overcritical giving it a 4. I still stand by it. But I think after I watch it for a second time, whenever it comes out on Apple, maybe it'll go up a little bit, that giving myself a little bit more time to spend with it and look back on some things I didn't like upon the first watch, maybe I like it a little bit more and judge it a little less harshly the second time. But is that a movie you would consider watching again, even though it's so long?
Oh yeah, I'd watch it again, especially at home when I can take breaks.
And I did see an interesting survey come out recently, if there should be an intermission between movies shown in theaters. And there are different options here, so let me know where you stand. 12% said yes for all movies there should be an intermission. 23% yes for movies 2 hours or longer. 24% of people said yes for movies that are 3 hours or longer. 25% say no. And for some reason, 17% say not sure. Where do you stand on should there be intermissions for longer movies in theaters?
As a resident member of the tiny bladder community.
Okay, you represent that demographic.
I'm going to shock you. I'm going to say no.
No whatsoever.
It messes up the flow of the movie. I don't want the lights to go up. I don't want everyone to like be milling around. No, it messes the flow. When do you do the intermission? What if halfway through the movie, there's a critical plot point? You're just like, all right, time for everyone to go pee. Come back in 10 minutes for the action to commence. No.
Exactly. I see a lot of things wrong with this. So I don't have a small bladder, but I am right.
Nice.
I am right there with the no 25%. I say no because along those same lines, I think a director would have to start thinking of, when do I place the break? It kills the momentum. There could be spots where a theater just decides, hey, this is where the break should be, whether it be like 90 minutes or 2 hours. I feel like that throws off the flow of the movie. And when I go watch a movie that I'm really into, I don't want to lose that momentum.
I feel like it makes sense in like theater because you also have the performers who probably need a break. Yeah. But this is not a live entertainment.
And a live show, I feel like there are more natural spots where you can choose to break between act one and act two. There's a different moment in a live performance where you can say, okay, here's a good time for an intermission. In a movie, you don't have that because then you're, like I said, you're going to have to think, okay, where should this story take a little bit of a break, a little bit of a beat? People go to the theater, but that's going to be chaos. If people go into the lobby, people go into the bathroom, and then everybody comes back and you kick it back on.
What if you have people in the intermission that run into people who have just seen the movie and people in the bathroom are talking about what happened?
There's spoilers.
And
the people
in, that are in their intermission get spoiled. Also, if my queen, Taylor Swift, doesn't need an intermission, we all can make it through a movie. Just get up, go to the bathroom, come back, ask the person next to you. If it's a good movie, you can use context clues to figure out what happened. If it's a terrible movie, then why are you seeing it in the first place?
Yeah, I think you can always kind of find a natural point to go to the bathroom. Also, going to the bathroom doesn't take that long.
Depends on why people are going to the bathroom.
I guess it depends what you have going on, but I feel like I've timed how long it takes me to go. I can be back in a few minutes. I don't miss a whole lot. If you go with somebody, you can tell them to catch you up real quick. If you didn't miss anything, they're like, you're good. So I also feel that adding on any time to a 3.5-hour movie is just going to make it feel so much longer. You're going to spend the entire day at the movie theater if you add any kind of a break.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. Our theater, they only have one concession stand upstairs. The downstairs one isn't open. If you have people in the intermission trying to go get snacks, they're all going to be upstairs. They're all still going to miss parts of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to be mad that they missed parts of the movie, even with the intermission. So no one's going to be happy.
Yeah, I'd say you don't do them at all. If anything, you could add, for very long movies, I would say over 3 hours, because now it's so natural for a movie to be 2.5 hours, no problem. But maybe anything over 3 hours, you could offer different showings that have an intermission, which, like we've been talking about before, that theaters need to offer different kind of experiences for different types of people. I think that could be one of them. That's not a hard thing to do, to build in a 10-minute intermission for those people who want it. Maybe it would encourage some people who hate long run times to go watch a movie.
That's actually a really good idea.
I also think that theaters would be into it because, like you were mentioning, it would give them time to go to the concession stand again. They go make more money, they sell more candy, they sell more popcorn, or they utilize the free refills for theaters that have that. That a lot of people, I feel like, don't use that because they don't want to go back to the lobby and get a refill.
Yeah, so you don't want to miss it. So yeah, theaters, if you're listening, maybe intermissions aren't a bad idea for making money.
Because like what you said with the Taylor Swift movie, your theater was more calm and relaxed. And there were some theaters that were totally just vibrant like a concert. So I feel like they could have had different types of showings for people who just want to sit and enjoy the movie.
I wanted vibrancy.
And the sing-along version of that. So I feel like, yeah, there should be different types of experiences that theaters should be looking into. I also think that just generates interest. Like, oh, what is this kind of showing? It's a bring your kid from home day show. I don't know, something like that.
They do have kid ones where your kids can run around.
There you go.
Wow, I already forgot I saw the Eras movie this month. Is that my favorite?
Oh, is that your favorite?
Are we having like an on-air audible?
Because here's the thing that you can tell me how far off I am on this, because I didn't see it with you. And I said the fact that it is not truly cinema because there's no narrative to the Taylor Swift Eras movie. It is just a concert film. So I feel like me going to see it and reviewing it wouldn't really make sense because it's just a concert. There's no behind the scenes. There's no overarching story throughout it. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. I think I'm going to keep Killers of the Flower Moon because she did also cut some songs. A little heartbroken.
Even that was 2 hours, 46 minutes.
It was indeed.
So even that's a longer movie. But yeah.
She cut like 45 minutes out.
The other thing that we didn't mention, whenever we did go see Killers of the Flower Moon, that our theater started rumbling because there was an air showing next door.
It was literally vibrating.
Yes.
Our theater was
Everybody
moving.
Was worried because they're like, what is happening?
Yeah, everyone started looking around and then I think you just like hear the screams of 20-something-year-old girls and teenagers and you're like, ah, the Eras film. I was like, they probably shouldn't have put that next to such a quiet film.
Yeah, it's weird because it's such
Killers has like such like pensive moments of silence.
And then you have Taylor Swift blasting in the auditorium next to us. But anyway, yes, we stand by both of our favorite movies of the last month were Killers of the Flower Moon, honorable mention would
be The Eras Tour.
And then we both stand by. I'm surprised that you agreed with this too. No intermissions in longer movies, no matter what.
Yeah, I just think it's going to ruin the flow of a movie.
I agree. So now we'll get into our worst. What was your worst for the last month?
God, this movie was so bad. Fair Play on Netflix.
What is this movie about? We both watched it together. You wanted to watch it initially.
I did.
And the trailer looked good.
Yeah, it's like, it's about a Wall Street couple. She gets the promotion, he doesn't. And it's about how their lives like change after that. The movie was a train wreck.
It was
a disaster.
Described as an erotic thriller. Did you find it erotic and thrillery?
Listen, there are times when I understand that an intimate scene in a movie adds to the story. Mm-hmm. And then there are times where it's just like gratuitous. And it's like, why was this here? Every intimate scene in this movie, I was like, what am I watching? Why? I'm a little scarred.
The opening scene alone.
Yeah.
Is like, what are we watching?
I think we did say that. I think we said, what are we watching? I think you looked at me and you said, what did you pick? And I was like, well, it's supposed to be good.
And it did get better after that.
It's like HBO's obsession with showing the male anatomy. Mm-hmm. They'll just throw it on a screen.
Yeah, HBO's known for that.
That's how this movie felt, was they were just like, how can we... It's almost like they were worried that people were going to lose interest in the movie. And they were like, how can we bring it back?
Here
how
you go.
About this? And everyone was like, that's it. That's the plot point.
I will say the movie won me back maybe about the end of the first act, that I ended up probably enjoying it more than you did, because I would end up giving it about a 3 out of 5. I felt like the story was still pretty good. There were some things that I had to not suspend belief on, but just accept for what they were. And not take it so seriously, which I thought the movie was going to be a little bit more serious, a little bit more straight on. And then it was kind of more of like a fantasy story almost for some people. But for my worst, I'm going with the movie I reviewed last week, Five Nights at Freddy's. I gave it a 1.5 out of 5, and I stand by that.
I knew it was bad when you were like texting me. Movie's almost over. You never text during a movie. I knew it was bad when you were like, it's almost over, thank God.
I had the weirdest moment after watching that movie though, because I couldn't see it any other way of people actually enjoying that movie. And then I don't read reviews going into a film because I want to have my own opinion without any influence. And with that one, right after, I went and saw what other people said about it, and people love that movie. And I think what I missed is that it's kind of geared towards kids. And I thought it was just going to be a straight on horror movie.
Kids.
But because the video game is so popular with kids and people love those characters, I feel like if you didn't have a relationship with the video game and growing up with it, you didn't really get it. So for the first time, I kind of felt like a crusty old critic who didn't enjoy a movie that all these young people are loving. I felt like what...
The youngsters.
Yeah, I feel like 10 years ago, that was me loving all the Marvel movies and critics being like, those are so stupid and terrible. So it was a weird moment for me of like not knowing about this fan base. And it was also an instance where I posted the review and I got crushed online because everybody was like, you look like the type of person who would say this. And I'm like, man, I really didn't know that there was such a passion for Five Nights at Freddy's. So I don't think I'll go back and rewatch it. But I saw like clips of people talking about it and it almost convinced me like, man, maybe there was something I was missing out here. But
I saw the wrong movie.
But if they make a sequel, I'll be interested in it now because it was so successful. It made so much money on a very low budget, which was also surprising to me that a movie like that would crush. Even the fact that it came out on Peacock at the same time, you think people would just run to Peacock and not go as much to see it in theaters, but it just crushed and dominated. So that was when I was like, I'm glad for the success of it because I love seeing movies that have a really small budget do really well at the box office. And I think horror is the genre where you can do that, spend a little bit, create that environment and that feeling for the viewer, and then just cash in on it. So I just missed the boat on that one, but I stand by it. I still think it's a terrible movie. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And if that makes me sound old and out of touch on that one, well, so be it. That's my first one.
People really said you look like the type of person that would say that.
Yeah. They told me my review was an L.
Was that my little brother?
Maybe it was. All right, that's the best and the worst of the last month. I want to switch it up a little bit and get into some movie news. We have each brought a story we want to share that has happened and developed recently, and we'll just kind of talk about it. So what do you have in movie news, Kelsey?
First off, I would like to tell you, I'm sorry I crammed 11 cookies into your VCR.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Guys, it's the 20th anniversary of Elf, which does indeed make me feel old.
I can't believe that movie is 20 years old. And I think of Elf as a modern classic, but now it's not that modern anymore. Because before it was like, I don't think they can make any more Christmas classics that we'll watch every single year. And Elf became that. But now the movie has been out 20 years. So it's just like a classic.
20 years. And anyone that lives in New York, I'm really jealous because on November 7th, they are lighting up the Empire State Building in green and yellow to look like Buddy the Elf.
This sounds like your dream. You love New York City.
Which I'm so sad because we are going in a few weeks. We're just like missing the boat. But they are doing like an interactive experience where you can go take a picture with a life-size cutout of Buddy the Elf. So I will be dragging you to that.
Oh, yeah. You love New York. You love Elf. This is like everything you right now.
This is all I want. And I couldn't sleep last night. I was doing some online shopping. I like to tell you on the podcast. So
okay.
I'm just going to start telling you about my purchases on the podcast in front of an audience.
So they're doing merch for the 20th anniversary.
Yes.
And you already purchased something.
I did.
What did you get?
This incredible Elf pillow from Pottery Barn. This is not, they are not paying me. I did not. I promise you, I bought this pillow with my own money and it is the coolest pillow because sometimes merch is like kind of cheesy.
Let me see it. I actually like that.
Good. Because it's going on the couch.
I don't love Christmas as much as you do. I'm not a Grinch by any means.
Don't say that.
But you like love Christmas. Yeah, our Christmas tree is already up.
Yeah, it's the one in our bedroom went up on November 1st. And the only reason that the big one didn't come until November 2nd is you were out of town.
Yeah. I guess I don't get into the decorating side of Christmas. But you love that part of it.
I love it. It makes the house feel cozy. But
I like that. It doesn't look like cheesy Christmas stuff, which I usually associate it with.
I've also found we have a family tradition in that my brothers and I, and now you, after marrying into the family, we all wear matching Elf shirts on Christmas morning. Mm-hmm. And we sit on the stairs and take a picture. And I did see that the Warner Brothers shop has a lot of cool new shirts. So I think I found our Christmas attire.
So we're replacing the, bye buddy, I hope you found your dad. Find your dad.
Yeah, the narwhal shirt, because my 13-year-old brother lost his. I don't know where it is.
Now we can't all match.
That. My little brother does have a Texas twang. He doesn't think he does, but he does. And he's like, I don't know where it went.
And I did see they're also going to put it back up on Max so we can stream it on Christmas.
Yeah, they're really, really leaning into like the merch collabs. And I don't know, maybe next week I'll come report on another purchase. Can we just have like a safe space every week where I just tell you everything I've bought for the house, but it's on the podcast?
It has to be movie related.
All of these things are Elf. They're doing some Elf candles. You know, I love a candle.
You do love candles. For my movie news.
I wasn't done talking about Elf.
Oh, what else do you have?
Just how much I love it and that it is the season to watch Elf. It's the season to start watching Christmas movies. Was it 2020 that we watched every Christmas movie known to man?
Yeah.
Including some terrible ones.
We went in deep into the vault for Christmas movies.
We even went like Christmas with the Cranks vault, which, you know, not a good one.
But we'll start with Elf this year.
Okay, great. Thank you. Can I get that in writing?
Yes, I'll write it right now. Okay.
Okay, I'm done.
For my movie news, I read this entire big article that Variety did on Marvel being in trouble, which a lot of things stuck out to me. I think the big headline is that apparently there were discussions of rebooting the original Avengers with Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson coming back. And I feel like the reason they would do that...
We're already rebooting?
Not rebooting, but just doing another story. And bringing back the original Avengers. And I don't know how true that is.
It's too soon.
Essentially, what the article says is that Marvel is in crisis right now. One, because a lot of their quality of films hasn't been up to par. Therefore, kind of diminishing the brand behind Marvel. Which, for the longest time, you just saw Marvel and thought, that's going to be a great movie. But now you see Marvel and you think, it might not even be that good. Which... it just shows you like how quickly things can change.
From a business perspective, it almost feels like they scaled too fast. It's like the hype was hot, they were like, we're throwing everything into this. We're making TV series. We're doing all of this stuff. And it feels like those businesses where they scale too fast, they build too many stores, the interest dies. Mm-hmm.
I watch a lot of those company man videos on YouTube. That is usually the problem. You have a successful store, they want a franchise, they start doing all these things, and then they can't manage all the projects, and then the quality goes down. I think that is what happened here. I think it all traces back to 2020. So Endgame came out in 2019, and then 2020 with the launch of Disney Plus and the launch of all these TV shows, I feel like they were trying to scale too fast.
Now, some of the TV shows, like WandaVision,
mm-hmm.
great. like they could have stopped there.
Yeah, because then with She-Hulk and all the other ones that have just been kind of subpar, it takes away from the excitement of a new Marvel show or a Marvel movie coming out. So I feel like really what has hurt Marvel was the Disney Plus model, which also was hurting Disney at the same time, which people aren't mentioning. But the fact that there's just so much content so quickly coming out so soon, the visual effects have been suffering. I just feel like it became so big that they wanted to keep that same momentum going the entire time that they had riding up till Endgame. And it just kind of broke down. And you also lose a lot of those big characters. And then the thing is, Marvel started with unknown characters. There is a reason whenever Marvel movies were first made that they came out with Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, and the X-Men, because those were the biggest comics. Naturally, those would be the first big movies they would make. And then Marvel sold off the rights to those movies. So then they started in 2008 with Iron Man, who wasn't the most popular Marvel comic. And that's exactly how they built the entire MCU, with using the lesser known characters that they had the rights to make the films with Thor and Captain America and... But that's what their model was. Let's use these lesser known characters that we have the rights to and create something unique and create a cinematic universe. That is exactly what they built their brand on. But now that you don't have those characters anymore, you don't have those actors, they're trying to do essentially the same thing they did back in 2008 with all these newer characters that they do have, but the interest just isn't there as much because of the saturation. So I feel like it's a saturation problem, which leads me back to the point I brought up before, that Marvel could go the way of the Western, which the Western film was the most popular between 1945 and 1960 for 15 years. You look at the timeline right now, from 2008 to 2023, that's 15 years. That's the same run.
Good mental math skills.
Oh, thank you. It's the same thing happening. You're bringing out the same type of stories inside of the same genre. The audiences just start to wear down a little bit. Too many movies. And then what happened back in the 60s is you had the rise of sci-fi, therefore making the Western look obsolete. I feel like that's going to kind of happen right now if they don't make a big change. I still think you can make superhero movies. I just think you kind of have to scale back the budget and make something a little bit more novel. What I think Marvel is missing is what DC is about to crush it with, and having these Elseworlds that are rated R, that are not in this big continuous, this happens and this movie connects with this one. They're just their own thing. But I think the problem that Marvel has is being connected to Disney. They just want the money and they want all the things to go back to Disney World and Disneyland. So it kind of cuts back on their creativity a little bit. And even with Kevin Feige, who oversees Marvel, he spreads so thin right now that he doesn't really have the same attention to detail that he had early on when developing the MCU, and that's why nothing really feels cohesive anymore. So I didn't really think Marvel was in trouble until I read this article and saw everything kind of laid out. And now the whole issue they have with Jonathan Majors probably not continuing as Kang, and they have really haven't had any time because of the writer's strike to write him out of that. They may go with Dr. Doom, who I don't love that decision because Dr. Doom seems so cheesy in the Fantastic Four movies. Unless they really give him the right tone, then you have the villain issue again.
I would like to say that we definitely agree with them writing Jonathan Majors.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Just making that known that we're not on the side of
as much
Jonathan
as I
Majors.
Loved him in Ant-Man, he shouldn't be Kang the Conqueror anymore. They could recast him, which I feel like would be the easiest choice since they don't have a way to write him out because they were basing everything on that character. I think switching to Dr. Doom would be like, oh man, everybody wanted to see Kang.
That just sounds like a dumb character name.
Kang?
No, Dr. Doom.
Oh, Dr. Doom. People love him because of the comics, which he's great in the comics. But if you look at the Fantastic Four movies, he looks so cheesy. So you would have to make him a lot more like Thanos and give him some kind of a human quality to make me really interested in Dr. Doom,
but he's a therapist.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's biggest fear, therapy, facing your demons. But yeah, I think they need to scale back. I think they need to make movies for a more modest budget. I also think the problem Marvel has is they don't have the same source material, like the same great stories that DC has, which, as you know, I've been getting more into comics lately.
Wasn't aware.
And I'm really more drawn to DC stories because they can be grittier and they show you a different style of superhero And then when I look into the Marvel back catalog of comics and try to find the one singular story for some of these characters, it's not as strong as it is on the DC side. So I feel like they need to dig through their source material and find the really great stories that showcase their superheroes in ways they haven't yet, instead of kind of going back to that same well that has been kind of the MCU style of making movies with the comedy and the fun lightheartedness.
The well has run dry.
Yeah, they need to go back and talk to some nerds, which is what I would encourage them to do now.
Are you volunteering?
Yes, create like a focus group of some hardcore comic book nerds and ask them, what are your favorite stories and what do you think we should be making? Because I think that is essentially what you have to do, is go back to the people who know the source material so well and the fans that are so passionate. The fans that were there with you in the very beginning, in the early stages, rooting you on, talk to them and find out what they want to do and what they want to see on the big screen.
It's actually a really good idea. Just hold like a focus group at like Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I mean, you already got all the nerds in one room when you host Comic-Con.
That's all you have to do. Talk to some nerds, because when...
As two self-proclaimed nerds, we're not hating on the nerds. We are nerds.
Because whenever movies get announced, you see the nerds comment first, you know, referencing the comics. I feel like that's where your answer lies. Finding those stories, and then also finding directors who...
Your answer lies in the Facebook comments. Good luck.
It kind of does. Like, as dark and dismal as that may seem of like listening to the people who are just shouting on their keyboard, sometimes there is something there that you could talk to them about. But overall, I don't think the article pointed out anything that I hadn't really seen. It was just seeing it all kind of laid out and all the pieces kind of fitting together, that they are on a bit of a decline, which I don't think they are by any means going to be terrible and completely out for the next 5 years. I feel like it's really crazy that you make a few bad projects and everybody kind of jumps ship. I'm not quite ready to jump ship yet. There are some things I'm excited about coming from Marvel, but I do think they need to step it up a bit, especially with James Gunn taking over DC.
I keep forgetting he went from Marvel to DC.
Yeah, which people overlook that he just crushed it this year with Guardians of the Galaxy 3. That was such a big hit. That was kind of quietly, like, everybody didn't really contribute that to the MCU, but that was a really big moment for them this year.
How much do we think that paycheck is to go from one to the other?
Oh, tons of money.
Nice.
But with him going over there and taking over, making a new Superman movie and generating some interest over there, if he can do even a fraction of what he did with Guardians with Marvel, imagine what he can do with DC. But again, I can also see the same issues they have of him being involved in so many projects and directing things, that whenever people get spread so thin, the quality just diminishes. So I think they just need to bring in some more people and not base everything on one person.
Or they need to just like truly take a hiatus, create some like, I don't know, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
Make people miss a good Marvel movie and then come back with something so strong. Stop putting out one, two every year.
That is a great point, and one I think would solve everything except for their pockets.
Well, yeah.
Because yes, going away and really spending some time to, you know, give viewers a chance to miss them.
Give writers a chance to have a break.
Give the VFX artists a chance to have a break, who have been just worked crazily to get all these projects out on time, and the quality has suffered. Give everybody a break, recharge, and come back with some really great content, instead of, like you said, just cranking things out over and over again. But again, it's a giant business now. They can't do that.
And it sucks when things like that become such a moneymaker, because it's like, it's just another cog in the wheel now of their machine.
But we stand by that reviving the original Avengers right now would be a terrible idea, right?
Please don't.
I think you need at least 10 years. 2029 would be the earliest you could do that. Even if it's some, I know they're in the multiverse saga right now and anything kind of goes, which I'm also kind of tired of the multiverse by now, to be honest. I loved it in the beginning.
It's very confusing.
I think time stories are kind of starting to wear on me a little bit, of different timelines. They were so interesting and fascinating early on, but everybody's trying to do it now. I think after The Flash, I kind of told myself, I'm a little bit done with the multiverse. Just give me some great straight ahead stories, some characters to root for, some hype moments. That's all we really want.
Give me like one, just like one time, present day, past, future, just one. Pick one.
I also don't want movies to connect anymore. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Like, I think
you also alienate, because then people feel the need to have seen everything.
That is a great point. I feel.
Thank you. You've said that quite a few times. I feel very smart
this
today.
This is why you're co-host. Because it is daunting to tell somebody, hey, there's a new Marvel movie coming out. The first question is, well, do I have to watch every single other of the 32 movies they've made? No, you just need to watch you just need to get people to a point that they just want to go watch one movie, be entertained.
Like, I think Black Panther was one of the best, like, standalone they've ever done. I have a friend who has never seen any other Marvel movies. She's seen Black Panther like 3 times. She was like, I loved it. It was great.
Go back to that original model. Trilogies. Think in trilogies. Part one, origin story. Part two, the emotional unraveling. Part three, the conclusion, the big epic ending of our hero. That's it. Trilogies.
Which just reminds me, and not a topic for today, but we haven't talked on here about them turning Harry Potter into like a series on... Is it Max?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a story for another day.
I have a lot of thoughts about that.
But anyway, I could probably go on this.
Yeah, you got to talk about this way longer than I got to talk about Elf.
I'm sorry. It was a long article and I had a lot of things to say about it.
It was a lot of passion.
Anything else you want to mention before we go?
Honorable mention for the month. A couple good books.
There we go.
One called The Last Lifeboat. Of course, it is a World War II. I also had a breakthrough on that. I remembered I used to read historical fiction as a child, and I was like, that makes a lot more sense. So yeah, The Last Lifeboat. It's a good one.
I would have an honorable mention, but I feel like I went too long on the Marvel. I did read The Dark Knight Returns, which is now my favorite graphic novel that I've ever read.
I love that you found a hobby, only because when my 7 Sephora boxes come in the mail every week, it's like, well, that's my hobby.
Because books are hard for me to finish. But graphic novels, I can sit down and read, and there are pictures.
And there are pictures.
So we'll come back, we'll do the movie review, and we'll do the trailer park after this.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's get into it now. A spoiler-free movie review of Priscilla. You have Kaylee Spaney. Playing Priscilla in this movie, Jacob Elordi plays Elvis. The movie is directed by Sofia Coppola, who is a great director. She wrote the script for this movie based on the book written by Priscilla Presley, who Priscilla is also an executive producer on this movie. And I feel that is a very key role in how I interpreted this movie and how I ended up enjoying it so much. Because to say that the dynamic between Elvis and Priscilla's relationship is toxic, is controversial, is kind of an understatement when you really look at the facts that he was in his 20s, already a superstar. Whenever he met Priscilla while he was in the army, stationed in Germany, she was an army brat and she was 14 years old when they first met and started spending time together. So the first 20 minutes of this movie, it was really me getting adjusted to the idea of that. And yes, this was back in the late 50s, early 60s. So maybe it was a little bit more common back then, but still really weird. And I feel the way we have Elvis placed in our heads as being this superstar that is so beloved. I don't think this movie was trying to diminish his reputation. It was really just telling Priscilla's side of the story. It wasn't trying to paint him in a bad light or even give him the spotlight in this movie, because It is all from her side of the relationship. But what this movie helped me understand is what it's like to be married to somebody who is that big of an icon and that big of a presence, to be with somebody who is not only famous, but gets everything that they want, has all the money to do anything they could ever imagine. Going back to the early stages of their relationship where she's 14 years old, Elvis is in the army and he just lost his mother. And that's kind of where their relationship really begins to grow, because he was homesick, lost his mother, and he needed somebody to confide in. And that is what Priscilla became for him. She helped him get through that time. She was the only one who really saw him in those dark, intimate moments and became somebody that he really leaned on. And in the book, she says that their relationship was strictly that. So the interesting part for me to see in this movie was seeing a side of Elvis that we haven't seen before. We all saw the Baz Luhrmann movie last year, which is very big and flashy, over the top. But that movie focused so much on his music and his career and really the relationship he had with Colonel Tom Parker, his manager. And it was kind of their struggle, him, his manager being the villain and Elvis being the hero of that story. Here, it's a little bit different. Elvis isn't really seen as a good guy. He's also not the main focus of this movie. All the things that happen to Priscilla throughout the film are as a result of him, but it's all how his actions and his power influence her. So it's a much different story that I really ended up finding to be a more interesting story, because it was a side of him that we've never really seen before. And it's really showing the dynamic of somebody married to somebody so famous who ends up treating her the same way that he treats everybody on his team. And it was so interesting to see that dynamic, that it's almost that she wasn't a real life person to him. She was, as how Priscilla described him in real life, to be kind of his doll that he would dress up, tell her what to wear, tell her how to speak, tell her how everything he controlled, which rock stars, famous people, actors, musicians, they get so used to getting their way in every aspect of their life that he took that and translated into how he controls the person that he's supposed to care about the most. There are moments where she is the most important thing in this world that you see throughout the film, but there are also moments where he kind of forgets that. It shows Elvis's ability to lose his temper in a second, his relationship with pills and sleeping all day and partying and having all these people around him all the time, and the toll that that takes on the partner in that relationship of Priscilla having to stay at home when he goes on tour. We see that side of him, of him being seen in tabloids cheating on her and trying to tell her that it's all made up. So there's a lot of manipulation. There's a lot of gaslighting. There was a lot of grooming early on, even though that wasn't really known to be a thing back in that time. That is exactly what this movie shows. And again, I don't think it was set out to villainize Elvis or tarnish his image. I just think it was telling her side of the story. And based on her own words, based on everything that she put in that book. And I think it's very powerful. I found myself to be more moved by Priscilla than I did Elvis last year. And I think it's because it's an A24 film and it just has a grittier feel to it. Even down to the actors' performances, I found myself being fully into Jacob Elordi as Elvis. Didn't fully look like him, but through the wardrobe, I didn't really see him and think, oh, it's just the guy from Euphoria. I bought into the fact that he was playing Elvis. I thought he had the voice down pretty well. Maybe all the mannerisms and showmanship-like of Elvis wasn't really showcased in this movie, but I don't think it was supposed to. It was really more geared towards the Elvis at home. And even the way they reference him in this movie, they call him E or EP. So it's kind of pulling the curtain back a little bit more than we saw in Elvis, in seeing him just as human as he can be, because he's not going to be a fully human character. To have somebody that famous at that time, in no way they're going to be human. So it was as human as I think that we're going to see Elvis, and showing his dark side even more so than we saw in the film last year, because yes, that one did showcase his addiction and the way he had to fight through performances and once he got to Vegas and all that. But this one showed more the effects of him popping pills the effects of sleeping all day and the effects of his temper. There are moments in this movie where it gets very hostile between the two. You see these fits of rage come out of him and then quickly apologize, therefore adding to the dynamic of their relationship that things were not good. The thing I wasn't expecting to find in this movie was comic relief. The movie was oddly comedic, not really on purpose, but there were moments in the movie where they kind of made Elvis out to be kind of a buffoon, to be kind of a dummy. So there were moments in my movie theater screening where people were laughing. And I feel like that added a different level of tone to the story of having these little moments where, oh, these are normal people, even though they seem like larger than life figures. So I thought that was a nice touch. I really credit that to director Sofia Coppola, who I thought did a fantastic job directing this movie and really getting some amazing performances out of everybody. And also shout out to the wardrobe department on this movie and the soundtrack and score. They didn't use any Elvis songs. I think there are a couple moments where they show some of his live performances, but they really did a good job of keeping the focus off of Elvis, which is probably hard to do in a movie like this when he is so dynamic when he is on screen. It's having that ability to shift it over to Priscilla to show the effects that his stardom is having on her. And the score also had like these really nice 80s inspired modern almost rock hip hop type songs in between certain scenes. I think specifically in the scene whenever her first big transformation into how Elvis tried to get her to look exactly like he wanted her to look. There were little moments like that that really made it feel like an A24 film because it took it out of the time period and really modernized it. So I really like that aspect of it too. Kind of reminded me of what Baz Luhrmann always does and did with Elvis of putting these really modern tracks in places where you don't expect them. So overall, when all was said and done, and I know I keep comparing it to Elvis, which maybe isn't the most fair thing to do, but I found myself enjoying this side of the story more. Because I think when it comes to biopics, I love the grittier side. I love the side that shows all the biggest, darkest moments, which I don't really think Elvis focused on that so much. This was really just almost a slice of life story. Because when you look at the story on paper, it's not a traditional story format. Doesn't really follow an act 1, 2, and 3. It's really just telling their entire life story. So I feel like it was directly taken from the book. So I think what the movie served as was just a really deep dive and a character study into these really gritty characters. So I found that way more enjoyable than the big lavish musical movie that we got last year because it really just plays more to my taste. It plays more to the dark side of the story, which there are a lot of dark elements when you break it down. So really the only issue I had was the subject matter of getting over the creepiness of their relationship early on. But once I figured out that it really wasn't trying to villainize anybody, and also reading what Priscilla had to say about this movie being made and it really being a representation of the story she wanted to tell, I find myself having more comfort in knowing that it wasn't somebody making the movie of just trying to monetize off of that. So that definitely bumped up my scoring. So for Priscilla, I give it 4.5 out of 5 Gracelands.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time to head down to Movie Mike's Trailer Park.
It's rare that I have an audible gasp while watching a movie trailer, but seeing Ryan Gosling in all his glory, like, I can admit when a guy is really good looking, and I feel like Ryan Gosling and I are not even the same species. I feel like if I worked out as hard as I wanted to, I could not achieve even a tenth of the level of his physique. But for that reason, he makes for a great actor to throw on the screen and make me want to watch every single second that he is on there. But he is in a new movie with Emily Blunt, and it's a movie that very much reminds me that Ryan Gosling is a very diverse actor. Not only does he take on roles that I feel challenge him, but he flourishes in them. And with every project he takes on, he reminds me that he can really do it all. He can do the comedy, he can do the action, he can do the drama, he can sing, he can dance, he can do all of these things so well. And man, it just makes you jealous that there's a person out there that is so talented. But the new movie is called The Fall Guy. He plays a stuntman who's kind of washed up, and now he's working on a movie set with one of the biggest stars in Hollywood. And ironically, he is somebody who he stunt doubled for a long time ago, and this guy has kind of replaced him. As far as being the star now, Emily Blunt's character is the one directing the movie, and where it all comes crumbling down is the big A-list star goes missing, and Ryan Gosling has to find a way to bring this guy back and in turn win the heart of Emily Blunt, where it seems like they have some kind of relationship, some kind of past where they dated, or he's been trying to get with her for so long. So if he brings the guy back, he wins her heart. So before I get into more of what this movie is about, also the interesting person who is directing this movie, which gives me some pretty good perspective on what to expect, here's just a little bit of the Fall Guy trailer.
Tom Ryder, the biggest action star on the planet, is missing. You need to bring him back, or Jodie's movie is dead.
Why me?
You're a stuntman. Nobody's gonna notice you. That's your job. No offense.
I mean, some taking.
You find Ryder, save Jodie's film, you get the love of your life back.
I'm not the hero, I'm just the double.
Not today, you're not.
So not only is Ryan Gosling visually appealing in this trailer, but all the stunts that they get to play around with, I think are going to be a lot of fun. Now, usually when it comes to making a movie about making a movie, the movie never turns out to be good. It's just kind of a lame line you have to walk to make it interesting and not to make it too meta. I've never really seen a movie about a movie really win me over. What I think is there seems to be a pretty good story here underneath it. And the movie is based on the TV show from back in the 80s. I don't think it's really going to follow a major plot line from that, aside from the fact that Ryan Gosling is playing the same type of stunt performer. But I think there will be a lot of things to play around with if you are doing stunts for a movie inside of a movie. There are scenes where Ryan Gosling's character is set on fire, where he's crashing cars. But then when you go into him in the real world where he's trying to find this A-list star and bring him back, he is also doing these same types of stunts. But at that point, it's not on the fictional movie set. It's just on a real movie set that we are watching. So yes, it does get a little bit meta to make a movie about a movie. But just by watching this trailer, I think they make a pretty clear distinction of what is happening on set by the way that those shots look. They look very glossed up and Hollywood-like. And then you pull it back a little bit and there's a sense of realism. So you have Ryan Gosling looking great. You have those stunts looking great. You also have a lot of great wardrobe shots in this movie and the different outfits he has been put in throughout his entire career. He has some iconic looks, so that is something I look forward to now when going to watch a movie. And maybe it's because recently I've become more interested in the way that I dress and interested in fashion in general, which I always just saw it as like, oh, you have to have a lot of money to know fashion and to be able to wear nice clothes. But I think it really comes down to finding your own unique style. And really, fashion is just being intentional and doing something with purpose. So it doesn't really have to cost a whole lot. It's something that I've learned. So now when I go watch movies, I often look for inspiration based on movie characters and what they wear. And of course, I'm not going to get something that costs a crazy amount that they spend in movies, but looking at what they wear gives me inspiration of, okay, what can I find that I can afford that creates a similar look, make it my own, and makes me feel confident like I was on a big screen. I like doing that too. And just by looking at this trailer and some of the different outfit choices, which some are a little bit out there and outlandish, but I always leave a Ryan Gosling film inspired by what he wears and what they put him in. So maybe this movie will give me some choices to pick from later down the line. And then you put him with Emily Blunt. I think they are a really great pairing that I haven't seen together on the big screen. And she also rarely makes a bad movie. Both of them together are two actors who rarely make a bad movie, if ever. I just have them on that level of top tier actors. And then you have director David Leitch, who we've talked about recently when I did my review on Bullet Train, which was a really solid, fun, and funny action movie that kind of went a little bit under the radar when it came out late last summer. But I feel like more people started watching that and appreciating it after it came out on Netflix. But David Leitch knows action and he also knows comedy. He's done movies like John Wick, Deadpool 2, Bullet Train, which I mentioned. So I think he's going to pull from all those inspirations to make this movie. But the other cool thing that excites me is David Leitch was a stunt performer back in the day. The first time he ever met Brad Pitt was working as his stunt double on Fight Club. So knowing that he has this long history of being a stunt performer and then directing a movie about a stunt guy who's kind of past his prime, I feel like the reason he made this movie was also to tell his story. And when you get a director who is passionate about what they are doing and also pulling from personal inspiration, I think that's a home run that it's going to have a lot of heart with somebody who has the arsenal and the tools of how to make that movie come to life. So maybe it's a little selfish of him to make a movie that hits so close to home, but they always say write, work on what you know. So that is why I'm really interested to see how this entire movie plays out. The trailer just looks fantastic, and the movie is coming out on March 1st, 2024. So that's why I'm excited to see it next year. And yes, you're probably thinking, why do you have such a crush on Ryan Gosling? And to that I say, well, who doesn't?
And that was this week's edition of Movie Mike's Trailer Park.
And that is going to do it for another episode here on the podcast. But before I go, I got to give my listener shout out of the week. We had an interview last week with Frederick Yane, talking about his work on Killers of the Flower Moon and the process behind getting music made for a movie. I asked you to comment with the music note. And this week's listener shout out who left that secret emoji is Ashley Kennedy. She wrote, enjoyed this interview and can't wait to watch the movie. So thank you, Ashley. Thank you all for listening. And until next time, go out and watch good movies, and I will talk to you later.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Take a pause from your to-do list with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, You're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.